My name is Wayne Drain. I'm from Arkansas, Russellville, Arkansas, in the United States. Married with three kids and four grandkids that have a huge gravitational pull on my life. My wife's not here because my daughter needed her to be with our grandkids this week. And so it was being with me, being with the grandkids. No question. I kind of know where I am in the pecking order now. So I'm about fifth after four grandkids. Well, I'm glad you're here and glad you, those of you that came yesterday were here. Just in brief, to summarize what we talked about yesterday, I shared with you that God does speak. He always has been speaking. He's speaking now and He will continue to speak. And we can hear Him. In fact, Jesus expects us to hear Him and to know His voice. That's what I talked about yesterday. And we talked about how to hear, especially through prophecy. There's all kinds of ways to hear from God. All kinds of ways. He's so creative. There's thousands and thousands of ways that He speaks every morning. Every day at noon and in the evening. He's always speaking to those that have ears to hear. And He's always showing Himself to those that have eyes to see. The problem is sometimes we sort of subcontract our relationship with God to the professionals. Those guys that have been trained in seminary or have gotten a TV show or something. Well, I think the Lord doesn't have any middlemen. I think we're a kingdom of priests. And if you love Jesus, He wants to have a relationship with you. And a relationship is about communication. So He wants to speak. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and convince you that you are His own. Is that all right? Let me tell you who you are before we get started. You are His glorious ones, in whom is all His delight. That's how He sees you. And I don't know what kind of baggage you brought in here today and the negative ways you may think about yourself or God speaks to someone else but not me. Well, I'm here to tell you He wants to speak to you more than you even want Him to speak to you. And He's not here to condemn you. He's here to call you up higher. That's what these classes are about. Today I'm going to talk about receiving a prophetic word. Receiving. Yesterday we talked about hearing from God. And you had to get in and try to lay a good, strong biblical foundation for how that works. A lot of folks, they want to take a shortcut from the Bible. And you just can't do it. That's His book. It's the manual. It's no word that you hear in prophecy will ever contradict the book. So you need to be in the book. And it needs to be more than just a Google entry. You need to spend time with it. You need to make it your aim to know His Word. It'll be a lot easier for you to see the movement of His Spirit when you know His Word. Does that make sense? All right. Well, is anyone here bilingual? You can speak more than one language. What are some of the other languages besides English? Norwegian? What else? Serbian? Anybody speak Arkansas here? Well, if you studied another language, you don't just buy the program and then you got it. It doesn't come by osmosis. You have to learn that language. You have to learn. So we have to, even though God's speaking, we have to learn how to hear. Our human language is limited to our five senses and how we perceive. But to hear or understand what God is speaking, you have to learn to speak His language. Let me tell you, God is not limited to one language. He can speak all languages fluently. There's a language of heaven that maybe I'll talk about another time. That we can sing in the Spirit. We can sing with our understanding. We can speak in the Spirit. And we can also speak with our mind. So that's another day. But I suspect, this is free, I suspect the language that He spoke to Adam and Eve about was the language of heaven. And I think He had to confuse language because they were building this Tower of Babel to make a name for themselves. And that was all about pride. He had to stop that. Zephaniah says that He would restore this pure language of the Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, it was restored. So there's a language of heaven that I believe God's going to We're going to all be one at some point. We're going to be able to understand. But right now, he speaks through all kinds of different languages, and it's beautiful. Different languages are beautiful. But all language is his. Heaven's language has no limits. Our Creator God can communicate in millions of ways for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see. When you became a Christian, you become a Christian, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you not only can, but you are expected to hear from God. Let's look a bit about that now. We're going to focus on receiving through the prophetic. People often, probably the most common question I get is, how do you hear from God? How do you know that's God and not just your thoughts or your imagination? Just your thoughts or your imagination. How do you know it wasn't just whatever you ate last night trying to speak to you again? How do you know? Well, there are ways that you can know. We're going to explore that. But to hear means to perceive. Perceive with the ear the sound that someone or something is making. Some have heard the audible voice of God. Without apology, I tell you, I've heard his voice a couple of times with my physical ears. One time at a point of great trauma in my life, I just heard him say my name. He said, Wayne. And then just communicated to me in some way that things are going to be all right. And they were. If he never spoke to me again, the fact that he knows my name and would speak my name is enough. But I suspect he has a lot more he wants to say to us. Not long ago, I was pulling up to an intersection, and we don't have many roundabouts. We have stoplights. So we're coming up to that stoplight, and it turned green. And so I'm just easing up to go through the light, and the Lord said, audibly, I heard it to the point that I looked around to see who was talking. He said, stop, stop now. And I stopped. And just as I stopped, this car ran the red light and came through at about 50 miles an hour. Would have hit me right in the side where I was driving. Now, you try to tell me that wasn't the Lord, and I'll tell you, you don't know much about anything. And that's dramatic, and, you know, you see the reason for it. But I think God wants to speak to you just like that, a lot more than you think. We've been trained, though, that we can't hear. We've been told by the enemy or by other voices that should be left to those that are trained. You don't have to be trained to hear the Lord. You just have to be a son or a daughter. And even if you're not a son or a daughter, he's looking to make you a son or a daughter. And he's always speaking all the time. The Lord speaks, or rather communicates, in all sorts of ways. The Bible tells us his sound is seen as well as heard. He told someone in the Old Testament, when you see the trees moving in the tops of the balsam trees, you'll hear me. He's seen as well as heard. Our Creator speaks in thousands, millions of ways. His voice is seen in natural things like creation, sunset, sunrises. I used to see more sunrises than I do these days. I see more sunsets. I believe that God prefers to speak relationally. I love art. I love that art communicates to me. I love songs. Songs communicate to me. I love creativity. There's all kinds of ways that communicates to me. But I believe God prefers, he speaks in all those ways, but I think he prefers to speak relationally. He makes his voice perceptible in our spirit. It's been a growing process for me to learn to hear his voice and learn the language of heaven. And there's been a process for me. In my process, first of all, I believe that God does want to speak to me. I want you to just stop and say this after me. I'm going to say, God, I know you want to speak to me, and I want you to repeat it, all right? God, I know you want to speak to me. You repeat it.
God, I know you want to speak to me.
Okay, you said it. Now you need to believe it. You need to believe it. God said to Jeremiah, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things you have not known. He says that in Jeremiah 33. A couple of years ago, I was in Omaha, Nebraska, doing a prophetic presbytery, which is a prophetic gathering. And the Lord gave me a word for someone. Sometimes he gives me someone's name. And he gave me this word, and this word was a certain communication, but he said it's, I wrote down for John, Jonathan, Johnny. And I said, Lord, make up your mind, you know. Who is it? Is it for John? Is it for Johnny? Is it for Jonathan? He didn't say anything. So I went to the meeting. I said, is there a John or a Jonathan or a Johnny here? It's like I was trying to hedge my bets in a big crowd, there'd be someone there. Well, this young guy, probably 13, 14 years old, his name was Johnny, the only one that stood up, and I had a word for him that God was doing a healing in his family, and he's bringing his family together, something along those lines. And he received it, and the crowd that was there that knew him were very positive in response. So I thought, oh, that's that. So I go back to my room. I come back to the meeting that night, and the Lord said, you need to call out John and Jonathan. I said, well, I got Johnny. Isn't that good enough? And he said, no, give that same word again. So I gave the same word again, and Johnny had gone home and got his cousin Jonathan and his dad John and brought them. And the dad, John, returned to the Lord, and Jonathan gave his heart to the Lord. Sometimes God speaks in ways that doesn't make sense to you. But he always has purpose and strategy behind what he says. And what we have to do is learn not to try to always have to figure it out. It makes sense to us. His logic is so much higher than our logic. We have to just accept that. You know, God asks me questions sometimes, and he doesn't ask questions to gain information. Have you noticed that? Just best to say, Lord, you know. Lord, just speak whatever you want to speak, and I will hear. And I will look at that in just a minute. But God wants to give us revelational insight for ourselves and for other people. Tell us great and wonderful things that we don't know and could never figure out on our own. God spoke this to Moses in Deuteronomy 8. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. It has, if you break it down, it's like a river is flowing out of God's mouth. He's speaking. It's always proceeding out of the mouth of God. He's always speaking. But I'm not always tuned into the right frequency. I got something going on with my phone right now that it keeps turning Wi-Fi off. And I won't turn it back on. I just get into a place like this, it's hard to get on Wi-Fi and with this many people. So I just get it on, and then it turns itself off. So I'm thinking, my wife says, where are you? I've been trying to contact you. He says, well, I'm not tuned in. It doesn't mean that the messages aren't coming. It just means sometimes I'm not tuned in. You hear that sound? There it went. Maybe sometimes you don't hear because you're not exactly tuned in, not always plugged in. Job said in chapter 33, verse 14, God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Man may not perceive it. Jesus said in John 10, and I told you this yesterday, my sheep hear, recognize, know my voice. When my wife calls me, sometimes I try to be funny, which never works. And I'll say, now who is this? And she'll say, what? See, I know her voice. She could be speaking in the middle of 100 people, and if I heard her voice, I would know it was hers because I know her. I love her. I spend time with her. I know her voice, and she knows mine. And I believe if I can have that relationship on earth, it looks like we can have a relationship like that with a God that wants to speak to us as well. I don't know where that's coming from. To know or to understand what a sound means is to perceive something, someone is speaking, or and someone is listening. Well, how do you hear from God? Well, I can't speak for others, but here's what I do. I think the world is drowning in background noise, so I try to get I try to minimize as much background noise as I can. Jesus regularly got up early in the morning, went to a quiet place to be alone with his Father. And I position myself every morning that I can. I can't always because I'm traveling, but every morning that I can, I get up about 5:30 in the morning. Take a gasp. Don't feel any pressure to do that. But for me, I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I walk out behind my house, and I'll look up and I'll say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then the very first thing I say is, I don't give him my laundry list of what I need. I'll say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? Then I have my Bible and I have a pad or I have my phone with me. And then I just sit and I listen. And I find he wants to speak to me more than I even want him to. And I'll have all these plans for the day. And he'll just come in and edit my plans. Like he'll say, now, you know, you're going to see Johnny at 2, but I don't want you to see Johnny today. I want you to go and see Frank. Frank needs you, and I want you to tell him this. And so I write all that down. So I've learned not to be precious about my schedule. So I call Johnny and say, Johnny, I can't see you today. Can we get together another time? And then I call up Frank and say, Frank, can I see you this afternoon? He says, oh, yeah, I'm free at 2 o'clock. Okay. So I'll go over at 2, and I'll say, I was talking to the Lord this morning, felt like he had this for you, and I'll give it to him. Sometimes he'll say, I want you to go to the hospital today, and Sally is in the hospital. And I didn't even know Sally was in the hospital, and I'll find out Sally was in the hospital, and I'll go and see her and pray for her. I believe it's that practical. I don't think God speaks to us so that we can get spiritually proud or think that we're better than someone else. I think there's always a very practical element in why he speaks to us. So I position myself in worship. I use the protocol of Psalm 100. I go through the gates into his presence with thanksgiving. I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I come before his courts with praise. That's what I do almost every morning of my life. I wrote down once, I want to let God get hold of me before my day takes me over. This morning I had a lot to do that's going on today. And I got up this morning and I'm thinking about what I need to do. And the Lord says, stop. Go read Psalm 139. So I went and read Psalm 139, and everything I was thinking about I found answers for. And if I had not stopped and listened to God and then acted on it, I would have missed the things he wanted me to say. And it made the rest of my day easier. I'm telling you, it's very, very practical to hear from God. I pray with my mind. I pray with my spirit. But God's looking for dialogue, not monologue. Oh, Lord, I want you to speak to me. And then you go for 30 minutes telling him what you want him to say. I just say, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me? And then I listen. Listening is a dying art. As attention spans grow smaller, it's getting harder and harder for folks to listen. But let me tell you, it would behoove you to spend time listening. That's the best thing you can do so that you can hear. All right. How can we experience hearing from God in the prophetic? Well, there's some insights in the prophet Samuel's life that I want. If you want to be turning in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, I'll get there in just a minute in chapter 3. Give you a little background, some insights into his life. Samuel 1 and 2 see that Samuel's mom, Hannah, dedicated him to the Lord as a baby, even before he was a baby. She promised God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you to serve you. And she followed through on that. And she gave him to Eli the priest. So Samuel was mentored by Eli. It says in 1 Samuel 2:11, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. Verse 26 says, Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. If you don't have your Bibles or an app on your phone, you're just going to have to trust me that I'm not lying to you. Verse 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, and Samuel was about probably 10, 11, 12 at this point, so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple. His little bedroom was right by the temple, right by the presence of God. That's a good place to position yourself. By the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, just like I heard him say Wayne, he said Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? But Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lie down, I'm trying to get to sleep. So he went and lay back down. And again the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli, said, I did not call, go back and lie down. I need to get to sleep. I got stuff to do. I'm a priest. I'm important. Verse didn't actually say that. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Then the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. I heard you, buddy. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Eli had gotten dim in his walk with the Lord, and he wasn't the best mentor. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and he calls you. When he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, lie down there means not just physically lying down. It means go and rest. Be quiet. Listen. He says, go and lie down and say. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Listen to what he said to this little boy. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. You can go ahead and read what happened later on your own time. But how cool it would be if you were 9, 10, 11 years old and God says, I'm about to show you some great and wonderful things you don't know. But the first thing I wanted you to know is that I know who you are. I know where you live. I know your name. He hadn't told him yet, I'm going to raise you to be a big, you're going to be a phenomenal prophet in the Lord. And I identify with Samuel because my mom prayed for me when I was a little boy. And she prayed that I would, that the call on my life would be realized. Last thing I wanted to be was a preacher. I was either going to be a baseball hero or I was going to be a rock and roll star, but I was not going to be a preacher. That was the last thing I was going to be. But she prayed. And I can remember asking God to speak to me as early as 5 years old. But he can speak to you at 50 if you've not ever think you've heard him before. But here's some takeaways from this passage. Number one, be diligent to seek God. Be diligent to seek God. Samuel's mom inspired him, but he leaned into being mentored by Eli. Eli was, like I say, not the best mentor. His kids were out of control. But Samuel was there, and he would go responsive. When he thought Eli was calling him, he would run down the hall and say, here I am, did you call me? He was listening. He learned to hear God's voice by being teachable, by hearing Eli's voice. He ministered to God. We do that through reading our Bible, prayer, worship, and serving in practical ways. He pitched his bed right down by the ark of God. He was near the presence of God. That's where he slept. He was in a ripe environment. Sometimes we put ourselves out of ripe environments. We put sounds and images and words in our mind that crowds out those pure things God wants to give us. Sometimes I have to fast social media. We have these 21 days of fasting every January in our church. And I was so proud of our teenagers last year. The majority of them on their own decided to fast social media. That would be like me cutting off my right arm and leaving it over there for a week. I mean, some of the kids would tell me, that is my life. That's how I communicate. That's where my friends are. And I said, you really want to stop for a week? And they said, the Lord said to, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And then I said, well, in a week, I want you to come and tell me what the Lord's saying to you. Gathered the teenagers, and they just, it was amazing. They were amazed. Pastor Wayne, God spoke to me. He told me this and then that. And what do you think? And an amazing little mini revival happened with our teenagers just because they got some of the background noise out. Am I telling you to get off social media? Yes. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if something is taking over the input into your life, into your spirit, you need to be in control of it rather than letting it be in control of you. Can you hear that? He kept himself available to hear and to serve. He said, here I am. When Eli realized the Lord was speaking to Samuel, he instructed him, go and lie down. It means stay in peace. Don't be anxious. If God calls you, say as Samuel learned to say, speak to me for your servant is listening. Then verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. Samuel's experience in the Lord can be yours. Samuel's experience in the Lord can be yours. He went on to be one of the greatest prophets that there ever was. It says no word of Samuel's ever fell to the ground. He's the one that called out Saul in his sin. He's the one that went through seven sons, and Jesse's sons, and he found David. He would go from city to city with a band of prophets, and people would run out and go, are you mad or are you glad? I mean, they knew when Samuel came to town, something big was going to happen. He was an amazing prophet, and he had been that way since he was a little boy. But Samuel went through a process to learn to recognize God's voice, and you may need to too, I would imagine. 1 Thessalonians 5, that I'll deal with more clearly, not tomorrow but the next day, says, despise not prophecy, but examine carefully. If God speaks prophetically, it will stand up to scrutiny. It will stand up to examination. A lot of prophetic people, in my experience, have been a little insecure sometimes when someone challenges their word. What do you mean I didn't hear from God? I told you yesterday about the guy that said he'd heard from God to leave his wife and marry his secretary. And I had to challenge that. You heard from a spirit, but I don't think you heard from the Holy Spirit. And because it went against the scripture here. If you get a word from God, it goes through various filters. If it's not a word from God, you can learn to tell what it is. Well, what can we do to discern if we're hearing God's voice or just our own thoughts or imagination? Well, from 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24, I just want to make a few comments. And I'll break that down more tomorrow in 2 days when we have our next class about weighing the prophetic. How do you examine the prophetic? Here's just a few things. Number one, make sure you respect your spiritual leaders or the mentors in your life that you're listening to. I'm going to say something radical here. But if you're in a church or in a situation where you cannot respect your leaders, you cannot be accountable to them, you cannot hear their counsel, you need to think about going somewhere else. You need to be somewhere where you have confidence in those leaders. If you don't have confidence in those leaders, you need to go and try to work it out. But if you can't, you need to be in a place where the counsel in your life is someone that you respect. Respect your spiritual leaders. If you legitimately can't respect those, go somewhere else that you can. I know that's heresy. You're supposed to say, stay in your church no matter what. But there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on in churches. And I believe that God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be among healthy leaders, and there are healthy leaders out there. I believe this move, I know Mike Pilavachi personally, and it's a healthy situation. I met few men that love as deeply and as often as Mike does. And so that's the kind of leader you can follow, I believe. Number two, do what's necessary to keep your heart in peace. Get rid of social media, pray, worship, be thankful. Serve someone somewhere. We had the hottest rock and roll guitar player in our area joined our church. And he came to our church and he said, well, I'm here. Got my guitar. Where do you want me to plug in? I said, well, I'm really glad you're here. Really glad you're here. I said, I've heard you're a great guitarist. But what I really need you to do is right back here. And I walked him back to what we call our musician's closet. And I said, that closet is in such disarray that our musicians cannot find stuff every Sunday. Now, you know all about gear and stuff. And could you just organize that for us? He kind of went, okay. So he's in there for a week. He gets it all organized. And he comes back and says, all right, I got that organized. Musicians can go now. You want me to plug in and play on Sunday? And I said, no, we're having a little trouble with our sound. Could you just come back and help us work on our soundboard? It just seems to be out of whack. Well, okay. Another week, he comes back and says, well, I got that sound worked out. It's sounding good. You want me to plug in Sunday? And I said, you know, while you were doing that, our musician's closet got messed up again. So he goes back to the musician's closet, and he's sitting in there. And suddenly he hears from God. He said, you're not after my gift. You're after me. And he said, Lord, if I never play guitar again, I'll serve you. So I didn't hear from him. I go and find him. He's in the musician's closet. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, Pastor, I think I'm starting to get it. He said, I don't have to be on the worship team. If you want me to serve, if you want me to just pick up trash, I'll do that. And I said, hey, won't you plug in on Sunday? Now he's a worship pastor in another church. He's done great. He's recorded many albums. And sometimes as you serve unselfishly, you'll learn to hear from God like no other way. When I first got saved, I was a guitar player in a rock and roll band, and I was kind of like this guy, so I knew him. One of the first things God said to me is, hey, I want you to put your guitar somewhere for me, like under your bed, and don't take it out till I tell you. So for a year, I had to listen to this guy that was a horrible guitar player, couldn't even play in tune. And over the course of that year, I went from just being offended to being tender, to being supportive, to serving that guy. And I remember the day the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to take your guitar out. I miss your playing. And I want you to give me a concert. Just do it for me. And now you know what? He gave me that music back and that instrument back, and it's done things I never dreamed I would be able to do. But serving others is a good way to learn to hear from God. Does that make sense? Number three, keep a good attitude. Be a diligent seeker of God. Serve willingly. Listen. Number four, judge, examine prophetic words by asking yourself these questions. Does the prophecy line up with Scripture? A prophecy will never contradict the principles of Scripture. Number two, does the word bring edification, exhortation, or comfort? Or does it bring judgment and confusion? The third question to ask, does the trusted counsel I listen to give the word an amen? Proverbs 15 says there's safety in wise counsel. Now here's one you might not understand at first, but I use this word. Do I have peace in my knower? If you're a believer, filled with Spirit, you have a knower. The Bible says deep calls to deep. You know, sometimes you just know something's right, or you just know it's wrong. You don't really know why. My wife has this thing I call a jerkometer. She can spot a jerk a mile away. I get taken in by people. I'll just, they're good people. And Junior will say, don't trust that guy. He is a snake in the grass. And I said, Junior, you're just harsh. She said, no, I have discernment. And she is not a harsh person, but she can know when something is unclean or something is wrong. And she has this ability to discern. Do I have peace in my knower? Deep calls to deep. Bear witness with your spirit. The last one is, does the word point me toward Jesus and bring him glory? Revelation 19:10 says, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness or a testimony of Jesus. For Jesus, Jesus' testimony is the spirit of prophecy. All right. Here's my encouragement to you about receiving prophetic words. Do whatever you need to do to develop an attitude like Samuel, where you can honestly say, speak God, I'm your servant, I'm listening. Look for a mentor to serve who will help you learn to recognize the voice of God. In the meantime, just serve, get in the book, pray, worship, be an active participant in your church, keep a listening ear open to what God might say. All right, what I want to do right now is I want to do a little lab, all right? And just a minute, we did this a little bit yesterday, got a little more time today. I was able to end a little bit early. My team and I are going to give some prophetic words for some of you, and we're going to give you a chance. And I want you to just take a minute right now and look at two or three people around you. And in just a minute after we give these words and show you what we do, I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, do you have a word for me to give that person? All right? I'll come back and explain a little bit more to you later, but let's just give some of the words that we have. And I got these words as you were walking in, and I just looked around, and I don't know your name, so I need to get your name because it'll be taped. There was a lady with a blue cap right front, right there. You took your cap off. You're trying to trick me, weren't you? What's your name? Ann? On. Yep. I heard this for you. There is a rich spiritual heritage behind you, flowing in you. It will flow out from you. There's a spiritual dynasty going through your family. It's flown into you. It's going to flow through you and out from you. You'll be a spiritual mom that releases blessing to sons and daughters, not just your own, but others. You are a nurturer. I saw healing flowing through your words, and will flow when you pray for others. It'll flow through your hands. Don't be intimidated. Just be yourself. Now, did that mess you up or discourage you? It encouraged you? Good, good, good. You guys get a mic and jump in here, okay? One more, then I'm going to turn these guys loose. A young man with dark hair and sunglasses, the front middle, right there. What's your name? James. That's a good name. Biblical. I heard this. It's more than fate that you're sitting here. The Holy Spirit led you here to hear that you can hear. He wants you to hear that you can hear. You do hear. You doubt yourself a lot. You need to stop that. Yes, you can hear from the Lord. Yes, it's real. It's authentic. The call on your life to be a voice to your generation who proclaims the goodness of God is real. It's in you. Let the Lord have your plans, and you'll find His plans are much greater than your plans. Greater than anything you could ever hope for or imagine. Now, I don't want to stir up pride, but there's greatness in you. Don't settle for a life of mediocrity. Amen? Okay, you guys want to give? Ladies first.
I have a word. I think it's for the man right ahead in the blue shirt, light blue shirt. Yeah, you. I just see that, like, there's loads of colors around you. What's your name?
Joe.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's cool. I had a word for Joe, a Joe, so that's really cool. But are you artistic? You are artistic. You like do any kind of art or? Yeah, I just feel like God is saying there's colors in you that need to come out, and maybe you're thinking about getting back into some kind of art, painting, maybe oil paints or something like that. And
fantastic, good job. Good job. Try not to get from the speakers.
Just a lady with the short blonde hair, black top. Yeah, what's your name? Gemma. I just felt like God was giving you like a sombrero hat, and He was just saying that, like, if you ever feel like you're kind of in, you know, that desert or that dry and really tough place, He's just providing you protection from the harsh sun, and He's kind of saying, I'm giving you that protection, I'm covering you with your spirit, with His spirit. So bless you. Yeah, sure. Just a gentleman with black glasses and the striped shirt. What's your name? Henry. I just feel like, actually just saw your picture of like a gondola in Italy. And I just feel like God's saying that He's really wanting to romance you, if that makes sense, and actually build relationship further with you. And He's saying in that, and I'm not sure if you write songs or even poetry, but I feel like He's saying He's going to start to give you new words to actually write down. And it's actually like a new expression of worship to Him. Just over the next kind of year, I reckon He's just really to build that relationship with you.
Young lady with really blonde hair on the floor to the left, right there, the white t-shirt. Can you stand up and yell out your name so I can hear it?
Emily.
I've heard this for you, and I could have come just for you today. You've had to be more mature than others your age, but it's because the Lord matured you. The Lord's done a quick work in you. You have known there was a call on your life since you were small. There's a call to lead. There's a call to serve. There's a call to be a voice of change in the culture, not just the church, but the culture. For the glory of God. You're not going to have a traditional ministry, but you will minister nonetheless. Get in the book, and the Holy Spirit will teach you and continue to equip and mature you to impact your culture. You are a world changer. Be confident in Jesus. Amen. Sometimes I just know I come for someone in particular, and I think it was this young girl today. I think we're going to hear from her in the days to come. Something else.
I feel like there's somebody in this room who experienced freedom last night during the ministry time. And it was probably the first time they felt really free. But today they feel, they're wondering if it was real, they don't feel the same today. They feel quite burdened today. I have a message for that person, whoever you are, it is freedom in Christ it is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, and do not let yourselves be burdened.
So it's actually a gentleman in the cafe wearing a 7-Up shirt. You're the one, brother. What's your name?
Patrick.
Patrick? Awesome, mate. I just feel like God's saying that he's going to start to show up in unexpected places for you. And it's probably even here, you're here because you're working, not necessarily to attend. But I feel like God's saying that he's always going to pursue you. And so he's like, don't run, because I run quicker, mate. So, bless you, mate.
Okay, if you could just received a word, would you stand up where you are and let me pray for you? If it's okay with someone around you to just put their hand on your shoulder and pray for you, someone you trust. Father, I ask you to take these words and encourage and strengthen and comfort. Release destiny so that they can release others' destinies. Lord, I thank you that you still speak to us. And I ask you to bless these today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, we've got a little bit of time now, and here's what I would like to do. And if any of you that received a word this morning and you just know without a doubt that I know exactly what that means and you want to share that, I'm going to give you a chance to give a testimony. Like this lady, I want to hear from her. And why don't you come on up here? Do you mind talking? Tell us what that word means to you. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to be, as she's coming up, right after she shares, I want you to get someone right around you in groups of, say, 3 or 4 at the most. And I want you to just, I'm going to ask you to be quiet with no talking. I'm going to ask you to listen to what the Lord might say and say, Lord, is there a word I have for this person? And I'm going to give you about just a few minutes to do that, and then I'm going to give a chance for some testimonies of people that heard something or people that gave a word maybe for the first time. Mike asked me not for this not to be a seminar but a workshop. So this is we've just been modeling something given a biblical basis. But my goal is to see you understanding that all can prophesy. We want to be God's voice to our culture. Is that word? Tell us what it means to you.
Yeah. Okay, so this is quite a vulnerable moment, everybody. So I've just been journeying through quite a long season of wilderness. I'm on my 7th year, actually, and the Lord's been saying, come into a season of rest. Yeah. So I've gone through a variety of health issues and stuff and struggles and dealing with fear and stuff, and I think, you know, I've been coming out of basically the work environment into ministry environment, so there's been transition and change, and I still don't know what's ahead yet. I know I've got a heart for seeing people healed. You know, I've been dealing with intimidation, actually stepping into worship leading, that kind of thing. Been receiving a lot of inner healing, ministry and stuff. So to actually have that encouragement that there is a rich spiritual heritage flowing in my family, that is amazing. So it's just really encouraging and strengthening to receive that word. I believe I've got a mother nurturing heart, and yet I'm not in that place. Like, generally, I'm yes, not married or anything. So, yeah. So I'm very, very encouraged and strengthened, and thank you.
Good, good, good. No, I didn't pay you to say that, right?
No.
Okay, good, good, good. Thank you very much. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just move around. Don't make a big thing. Just kind of get with someone real close. And I want you to just, when I count three in a minute, I want you to be quiet. Quiet your spirit. And just listen. And if you can, there may not be time for everyone to get to everyone, but write it down if you've got something, or get it on your phone so you can send it to them. But we want to be able to give what you have to others. And then if you receive a word, I want you to be able to say, that makes sense, or I have no idea what you're talking about, whatever it is. And we'll see where it goes. All right, I'm going to count backwards from three. When I get to one, I want you to be quiet. And I know this is hard for British people. I want you to actually look in someone's eyes. And not one time do I want you to say, sorry. I just want you to look in someone's eyes and say, God, is there something you want me to say to them? Then be quiet, write it down, and in about 4 minutes, I will let you say, now I want you to share what you have. All right? Let's do that right now. 3, 2, 1. Shh. Okay, I need you to just stop. Everybody stop. Just stop. Okay. Now, you can carry on after we finish here if you need to talk some more. But here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a few testimonies, maybe from each section, about 4 or 5, that you spoke a word, and the person you spoke the word to, they felt it was right. And I want you to just be able to give a real brief testimony. They said I'm a good-looking person, and I said you're right. You know, whatever that word is, okay? So I want you to be thinking about that. We got one word to call out here, and then I'm going to give you a chance. You want to give that word? I'm right here with you.
I heard the word very strongly, go. And I feel like there's somebody who's come to this meeting, and they've asked God for that specific word because they feel like they need to hear it out loud up front before they can take a step out. But potentially it's for it's to go to the nations and do some discipling. Now, if that's you, please stand up. Look, I just pray that this word would go out and go into their hearts, and that word would just go out, and I just pray that you send them out into the nations and go to where they need to go, and meet the people they need to meet and reach those people, and and change the world.
Okay, if you are able to give a communication about the word succinctly, would you just raise your hand? I'm going to bring this microphone to you and let you just share that. I need the person that gave the word and the person that received the word, okay? Anybody? Come on. I know that we'd have lots of stories to tell, and I promise that I would finish at 3. You can carry on talking a little bit if you want to. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. We won't be having a class tomorrow, but the next day I'll have a class on weighing, personal prophecy, how do you know? And then the fourth class will be about the art of prophecy. And I'll be praying prayers of impartation to release folks that have a gift of prophecy in some way. And so that's what we'll be doing in the fourth class. All right? Is this okay today? All right. I really... Thank you. I want to introduce you to Joy. I want you to come and tell about the word that you had when you didn't know about Joy. Remember?
You, your one. Oh, last year I was here doing Ali and Johnny's job, and Wayne gave me a word. And honestly, I don't remember all of it. It's written down at home, but. He said in it that he was going to increase my capacity as a wife and a friend and a mum. And I thought, that's weird. I told Wayne I don't have any kids. Like, he must have just forgotten. And I was actually pregnant that week and I didn't know.
There she is, little Joy.
There she is.
Here, I want to give you some homework. I want you to do this again after you leave the meeting. with someone you know or someone you don't know. Sometimes I'll just be out in the middle of folks I don't know, and I'll go up and it's really scary, but I'll go up and say, you know, excuse me, I just saw you over there and I feel like I might have something from the Lord for you. Is it okay if I share it with you? And I've seen people come to the Lord when I've done that. I've seen people get healed when I've done that. I've seen people tell me to F off when I've done that. And that may happen with you. But I want you to practice it one more time. You may not have finished up here, and you can do that if you want to. But between now and the class in 2 days, I'd like for you to be able to share a prophetic word with someone. And then we'll have a chance to give some testimonies when you come. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful group. Father, and I just want to pray a sending prayer. Lord, as I just send them out to be prophetic signs, to be a prophetic voice, to be someone that can speak on your behalf into people's life, to encourage and strengthen and comfort those around them. I pray for an increased boldness in their faith. And I pray we'll hear some great stories in a couple of days. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.